Take your Bibles, turn to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 16. We're still teaching about warfare. Tell you what, I think it's evident that there is a battle raging. Brother's talking about presidents. I'm like, yes. The Lord's going to have to help me as it stands right now. The ones I see is running in the front. I'm just going to have to write in a vote. Because ain't none of them, far as I can see, fit to vote for. And I look at our country and I said, is this the best that we can come up with? But I think God has given us in our pulpits, He's given us men after our own hearts. And I think He's given us leaders after the will and desire of the people. And that's frightening when you look at things. It's a war. And it always has been. When Jesus walked upon this earth, it was a war. And it was vile then. And that early church and under the Roman Empire, and if you look and study what that thing was like, it was filthy. It was a filthy mess. And this world is filthy. Now we're kind of living in a time where people claim to be civilized, but they're civilized, but they are very immoral. We might not be taking and feeding people to the lions anymore, but we certainly turn them over to the devil. But we're looking at this, let me get turned there, in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 16, we're looking at what Paul called the great mystery. We're looking over the different mysteries that God had committed unto him to give to the Gentile churches. And this is the only one, they were all great, but this is the only one that Paul called great. In verses 3, we're going to read, I'm going to start reading in verses 15. He said, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And that is so important that we know the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Now, you might ask me, well, what has this got to do with warfare? What has this got to do with spiritual warfare? Well, this mystery is what the devil has attacked this mystery probably more than any other of the mysteries that Paul laid out. You can look at the Jehovah's false witnesses, okay? They have taken that mystery and they had to change the Word of God. They had to go in the book of John where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. They had to change that to the Word was a God. And they made him simply another man. And then later, they kind of changed their mind. There was so much scripture refuting it. Then they started saying he was a half God. But he was not God. He was half God. He was a son of God, but he was not God. Then they figured out he was one of the created sons of God. He was just the same as Lucifer. He was a created son of God. They come up. Why did that happen? Because they're ignorant of this great mystery. This mystery is essential. And if we're going to fight a battle, hey, you want to know what kind of a leader you got. Amen? You need to know who your commander-in-chief is. I've said many times, I'd hate to be in the military and think I had to go to war right now. with what we got leading this country, I'd be scared. You know what I mean? Hey, would you trust them to do what it takes to look after you as a serviceman? Well, we saw what happened here recently. You know, them guys over, I can't even think of the name, where they just left them there to die. Yeah. Benghazi. Yeah. We know. No, man, the attitude used to be no soldier left behind. Look at what's happened over the past years. Hey, it's estimated that over 2,000, this brother probably knows about it, over 2,000 missing in action soldiers still in Vietnam. What's wrong with our country? Yeah. And some of them are known. They know that they're there. They know that they're there, but they deny it. Now, come on. You got to have some trust in your leadership, and that's why this is such a great and important mystery, is that we know who Jesus Christ is. If you're going to follow Christ, you need to know who He is. It's important, this mystery. The fact that either He was God or He was a liar. Either He was God or He was crazy. One or the other. And yeah, but so many people, and you'll see it, they have programs all the time. This mystery of iniquity, I said this, that's the reason why I try to teach on the mystery of iniquity first, because the devil is attacking this great mystery. He wants people to be deceived. He doesn't want them to know who Jesus is. That's the reason why he got all these programs. Who is Jesus? Where's the missing Jesus? Jesus, you know, they want to know who Jesus' wife was, and did he have any children, and all that kind of garbage and gobbledygook they got on the History Channel and National Geographic and all that kind of junk, you see. Because this mystery is under attack. Because they don't want people to know who the Lord Jesus Christ is in truth. Because, hey, if you don't have no confidence on who Jesus is, guess what? You ain't going to get saved. You ain't going to come to Him. Amen. And that's the reason why the church needs to proclaim Him. He's got to be lifted up. He said, if I be lifted up, and He was. He said, I will draw all men unto me, and He will. But it's our job right now is to let Christ be manifest in our flesh. Let God be manifest in us so this world can see who Jesus Christ is. And that's the failure is not in Washington, D.C. The failure is standing behind the pulpits in Baptist churches across America. And not just Baptist churches, but the churches in general. I say Baptist because I think that's the closest thing we got to following after the Bible. That's what I believe. But why is it that people are not hungry to know who Jesus is? They'll believe, the average person today will believe what's on the History Channel quicker than they'll believe us. Why is that? Why is that? We have not taken hold of these mysteries. We have not learned them. We have not let them move in us, empower us. We don't have a passion for it. Where's our passion? Where's our passion for who our Lord and Savior is? People may know that you go to church, but they know you have a passion for Jesus Christ. Do they know that you love Him? Is it evident that you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you make much of Him? Do you look for opportunities to tell people what He means to you? I mean, that's the bottom line. Because if Jesus Christ is who He says He is, and He is, that ought to be something. We ought to be excited about it. He's our elder brother. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. He's the King of the universe. I mean, He's much. And we need to have a passion about this thing. I remember when I first got saved, and I thought about all the blood. The Bible says that we're going to give an account for all the innocent blood that's being shed. Man's going to give an account for it. And I got this pen right here. I had one of those when I first got saved, and I thought about all those little babies that Jesus died for. And they're with Him. He got them. And I thought about old Cain and Abel and that blood crying out. And I'm going to tell you something. My Lord and Savior says, and I had a passion about that. But you couldn't, you start talking about abortion, I had a passion. I'd get almost violent about it. I'd ready to fight. I really was. I'd ready to take up arms. We had to stop this mess. I remember that old Presbyterian preacher killed that doctor down in Florida. Y'all remember him? He said, hey, if you find out somebody's getting ready to shoot me, please don't call my congressman. He said, try to do something to stop it. Well, you know, he had a passion, and he despaired. He despaired because of his passion. We ought not to despair. And we need to get some passion back about us. I think we still ought to be passionate about this thing about abortion. You know, every time they murder a child, it's just like killing the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, when you did it unto the least of these, you did it unto me. So every one of them that gets murdered, you know what they're doing? They're murdering our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Every time. Where's our passion about it? You think about how that Jesus Christ died for the sins of men that they might be saved. Where's our passion about it? And that's what it's going to take. People are going to have to see us passionate. A lot of people got all passionate about the Super Bowl last week. What a letdown that was, amen. Huh? That was probably one of the worst games played. I didn't even see it, but I heard it's probably one of the worst games played. Could you imagine paying out all them thousands of dollars to go see them boobs dropping balls every which way? Huh? Neither one of them played worth anything. And we just played a little worse. But they were all passionate about it. People get all passionate about it. And come this May, they're going to be all passionate about ACC basketball. Amen. I mean, they're going to be passionate about it. Am I looking at a UNC fan? Huh? All I'm saying is, people, now, you know, this past week, I knew who was on whose side last week. I knew. But they made it evident. Are we making it evident? Is the church making it evident who the Lord is, who Jesus Christ is? He's the great God, amen? And He's my friend. I don't know why. I tell you what, if I was him, I wouldn't want to hang out with me at all. Sometimes I feel so sorry. If I was God, I'd probably stomp me in the ground and kick the dirt over me. You know, I'm going to try one more time. Amen. But He's my friend. He talks with me. He shows me where I mess up. He's with me each and every day. A lot of times I get up on the run, get about halfway through the day, and I say, Lord, I'm sorry. I haven't really talked with you. And is that the way we treat a great God? He's our Lord and Savior. He's our all in all. He's everything. And yet, this is a great mystery. It's so important. And you know, and the Bible said, we read that last week, this mystery is without an argument. Look at that. I'm going to go over these things again. He says, and without controversy, there's no argument about it. Great is the mystery of godliness. I mean, you can't deny who Jesus Christ is. He is God. You say, well, how do you know? Because this Bible says so, and that's the only way you're going to know. You ain't going to find it. You're not going to dig it out of the ground. You're not going to find it in a college professor's mind. You're not going to find it in archaeological, you know, records. You're going to know it because God Himself is going to tell you who He is. I know this Bible is true for one reason, because Brother Jim made it evident, because the Spirit of God told him, and that same Spirit told me, 1985, that this was the Word of God. Never had thought about it before. I knew there were different versions of the Bible, never meant anything to me. But all of a sudden, one day, I had to make a choice, and I said, God, show me. And He made it plain. God speaks to us, amen. And He made it evident this is the Word of God. And if this is the Word of God, and it is, without controversy, because you look in here, this Bible plainly shows who Jesus Christ is. He's God. And then not only is it without argument, there's no argument about it, it says, the Word is a noun. That word godliness is a noun. It's a person. It isn't that you are godly or I am godly. It's God in you. Amen? And that's what produces godliness in the believer. And so you know what that does? That causes us to keep lifting Him up. Because without Him, we can do nothing. That's the reason why it's so important that we know who Jesus Christ is. We got a lot of people who's trying to live for God rather than let God live in them. Amen? We got people who are trying to imitate God rather than let God be manifest in us. And there's a lot of the problem that we're having in our churches today. They need to see God, not what we think of God. They need to see the Lord, amen. Not only that, this mystery that was hidden, revealed in Christ Jesus, it was manifest in the flesh, was made known, revealed, is clearly seen through the eyes of the Spirit. When you get the Spirit of God, you know that Jesus Christ is God. He declares it to you. All that God is revealed in the person of His Son. You say, how do you know that? Because He lives in me. I'll never forget. I remember when I got saved. I was there. I have not been what I want to be. I have not been maybe what I should be. But I know when God came around. He made it plain, you know. He revealed Himself in me, to me. That I was an old, sorry, no account sinner, but He loved me anyway. And that's that word, with that thought right there, I want you to turn to the book of John. Book of 1 John, excuse me. Book of 1 John. I was teaching a little bit on sin, and this all of a sudden this jumped out. It's amazing. Once you get to studying something like this, God will show it to you all through the Scriptures. Notice it. I'm again reading verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the Word of life. You know what I'm talking about? Hey. You get to handling this book. You get to getting in it or studying and digging around in there. Is something just burning you? You remember like old Jeremiah said? He said, man, I wasn't going to speak of him. He said, but his words burned in my bones. And buddy, you start handling this Word of life. And that's a person. That's Jesus Christ in us. And it should burn in us. There should be a passion. He said, which we have handled. Hey, of the Word of life. Notice this. For the life was manifested. Amen. It was revealed. You remember when Christ was revealed to your heart? Amen. And it came through this blessed book right here. And it was without a doubt that He was who He said He was. And you was excited about it. If you got saved like I did, you were. You know what I'm talking about. But when you got saved and that light came on, that the entrance of thy word giveth light, when that word came down in and he was manifested to us, he was revealed. And there was no argument about who he was. And we were excited about it. Do you remember how it burned? You had to go tell somebody that you were saved. You remember? I remember. I got on the phone and started calling some people. I called my mom. Told her, I said, I want you to know I got saved. I didn't even have assurance yet, but I knew I got saved. He said, how did that happen? Because God came in. He was the revealer of it, you see. Then he began to teach me. I got saved, then he began to teach me. What you know, I remember when that light and that fellowship, and that's what we're talking about here right now. Because he goes on, he was manifest for what purpose? Why was he manifesting to us? He goes on, for the life was manifest, and we have seen it and bear witness in showing to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifest unto us, that which we have seen and heard declare unto you, that you also may have what? Fellowship with us. That's why he was manifested. He was manifest to us so we could be friends. So we take hands with him and walk together. That's one thing that makes that mystery so great. Now we are friends of God. He's our friend. And it's something that I don't know. It bothers me that I ain't more excited and more passionate about it than I am. I mean, when you really get to thinking about it, like right now, I want to run out in the public and just shout it out. Amen. But then if you ain't careful, then you get alone and the old devil comes around and says, oh, they ain't going to understand. They think you're just a nut. You're crazy. Why am I worried about what they think? Go ahead and have them think you're a nut. It's a funny thing. Them people that think you're a nut, when they get trouble, guess who they come knocking on? Who they want to talk to? Huh? Yeah, they want to come. And say, would you pray about something situation? Go ahead and be a nut for Jesus, amen. Let him screw you on, amen. Let's need to get passionate about this thing again. He said, notice this, that we might have fellowship, and what we have seen, heard, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we into you that you may, that what? That your what? Joy. Amen? When you start seeing who Jesus Christ is and starts having fellowship, that joy should be bubbling out and over into us and ought to be bubbling out onto other people. Amen? This world wants to beat us down. Hey, man, boy, I can't remember who that fellow was. I remember we were down. He said, he's a lot of you missionaries around here. He said, your jaw's dragging the ground like a front end loader. Huh? He said, think about who it is you're serving. Think about who it is that saved you. Think about who it is that's walking with you daily. And you know what you'll do? You start having fellowship with him, you start having joy. And boy, when you start having that joy, and people say, they're going to think one or two things. They might think both. They said, there's something real about this guy, or he's a Fruit Loop. He's a nut. You know what I mean? But either way, they know there's something different about you. And you keep it up, and you just keep it up, and you just keep it up. After a while, they're going to have questions. They're going to ask you why. What is it that sets you on fire? What is it that's making you, hey, so rejoicing? And then you can tell them, amen. Let's tell them back when you was in darkness. Back when you thought you was having fun and God showed you how miserable you really were. And buddy, and how you called upon him there. And boy, how everything was changed. And now you got something worth living for. Amen. He was manifested that our joy, that we might have fellowship, and in our fellowship, guess what? We're going to have joy. These things write we into you, your joy might be full. This then is a message which we've heard of Him and declaring to you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That's another good thing. Think about it. Ain't it good when you can sit there and fellowship in the Word of God and you know that you've got a brother? Huh? I've heard some ridiculous things taught from the pulpit before. You can't know if another man's saved or not. Well, how in the world are you going to yoke up with anybody to do anything if you can't know that they're saved or not? Yeah. How can you get married? How can you sit under a preacher? There ought to be something, there ought to be such a close fellowship in the Spirit that we know that we're brothers and that this is a saved man. I know that this is a saved man. I've known some people, Brother Rick, they had gotten to the point, they didn't know they were saved, but I knew that they were saved. You say, how do you know that? Because they knew things only saved people know. They weren't in darkness. They knew who Jesus Christ was. They knew what He had done. But they were so low, they had forgot where they had one time been. We ought to have that kind of fellowship one with another, that we know that we're brothers. And so we can serve and walk with God in confidence. God wants us to be confident. He don't want us sitting around wondering all the time. He wants us to be bold. He wants us to walk in confidence because we got a leader, amen, that we can trust. Well, who we can trust His Word, we can trust His power, and have confidence in Him. And that's why this mystery is so important. If we're going to go out here and make warfare with the devil, we need to know who it is, hey, that is our commander, who's guiding us, who's showing us the way we ought to walk. And we need to let Him be filling us up in fellowship and full of His joy. Amen? You ain't going to produce joy. Only as that comes from God Himself. You can't have joy without Him. And you can't have love without Him. All this world, love, love, love. They wouldn't know love if it run over them. Until you know God, you don't know nothing of love. For God is love. You know what you got without God's love? You got selfish love. It's all about me. I remember, that's one of the things that God showed me right before I got saved. He said, you don't love nothing but yourself. He said, you don't love your wife, because that's the way you look at it. She's your wife. No, you got it all backwards. You're her husband. See, it's all about giving for the Christian life. It ain't about getting. It's about giving. And for my wife, it's supposed to be, I'm his wife. He's not my husband, you know. And you said, your children. No, they ain't your children. They're mine. I've loaned them out to you. You're to be their father. You're to love them. See how we get that thing all messed up and out of order without God? That's the way this world is. All messed up and out of order. That's the reason why we got guys running up there wants to play the Christian game and talk about 2 Corinthians. I don't guess y'all heard about that. Yeah. Anyway, we've seen it in the past, right? These guys that get up there. You can't fake it. You can't fake it. But anyway, when a man knows God, God's going to come out of him. We got fellowship with the Spirit. Amen? We have fellowship with the Spirit. Because the Spirit's in Him. We got fellowship with the Spirit. Our fellowship is in Christ. So, don't listen to what the world's got to say about this thing about Christendom. Hey, we need to walk and let this great mystery fill our hearts and minds so we know the Word of God so we can proclaim it to the world because they need to hear. Man, with all the junk that's out there. Notice it, and he said this, that all of God revealed in His Son, justified in the Spirit. And we looked at that last week about how this Word, Jesus said, the words I speak in you, they are Spirit and life. And we looked at those Scriptures where Jesus was justified in the Word of God. The things that He said about Himself were proven to be true. He was justified. Not only the things that He said of Himself, but the things, that were written of the prophets over and over again. We see that Jesus Christ is God manifest, proven by this Word right here, justified in the Spirit. And we looked at that a little bit about scene of angels. I got thinking about that this week, and I don't know about you. When I start thinking about it, I get excited. Me and Brother Dwayne was talking about it this morning on the bus route, thinking about, could you imagine that scene in heaven? We've read it over in the 5th chapter. Boy, and he walks out as a lamb slain. And what are them angels doing? What is man and the angels are getting together doing one thing? Praising and worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. What are they doing? They're declaring who He is. That's our King. That's the King of the universe right there. That's the one that made us. That's the one that made all things. He made us. We love Him. And they worship Him without ceasing. Boy, when I get to thinking about that, you know, angels not like us, they've never failed. They ain't got no sin to bug them, you know what I mean? And they look at the Lord Jesus Christ and say, we're not worthy. Huh? We're not worthy to receive honor and glory. We're not worthy to receive worship. You say, well, you're just. You're righteous. You've never done anything wrong. Yeah, we're that way because He made us that way. Amen? And they recognize Him for what He's given them. Amen? If they're willing to do that, how much more should we? Who has taken us, who was much lower than the angels, but now has lifted us up and given us a place a little higher than the angels in Christ Jesus. We're His body. That ought to make us excited. The fact that to see Him there, and I see that scene, I get excited thinking about it. One of these days, we're going to be there with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to see those holy angels like Michael and Gabriel, you know, and they are going to be giving laud and honor and glory and praise to the Lord Jesus Christ in awe and wonder. Boy, they so desired to look upon these things that they saw in the Word of God and didn't understand it. But now they're seeing it. They're seeing Jesus Christ as a lamb slain. He's there before them. And they're excited about it. They're excited about what God has done in bringing us to Him. If they're excited about it, my goodness, He redeemed us. We're the ones that ought to be excited. Scene of angels. I'm telling you what, it says He was preached unto the Gentiles. I mean, we were nothing but hogs and dogs. Dead. Not only were we hogs and dogs, we were dead dogs and hogs. Yes, sir. Well, we weren't doing nothing but rotting. We were laying by the road, rotting, and laying by the way, Brother Rick, just rotting. That's all we were doing. Getting worse and worse. dead dogs and hogs, boy. Man, I've never seen a hog. I've never run across a dead hog. I can imagine that'd be an awful mess. I've run across some, you know, dead horses, dead mules, and dead, but I've never run across an old dead hog that was, you know, drug off, that died, you know. I can't imagine. He's shaking. I can't imagine. That's all we were. Dead dogs and hogs. But Jesus come down from glory and walk by the way of that wilderness. Come walking out there. And we saw that light. You know, that light of the world. That light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And the ones that looked at, they believed that he's who he said he was. You ever read that over in the scripture? And they believed on him, and they believed on him, and they believed on him. Not all of them got saved, did they? He was believed on in the world, too. This world believes that he's who he said he is. They don't want to. That's the reason why they're running. That's the reason why they're dodging and hiding. That's the reason why they say it. Oh, I don't believe in that. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I don't believe it. No. I don't believe in God. Liar. I haven't met a true atheist yet. You get up there and you start talking about and starting. Oh, you remember back when you was a little boy? Huh? You remember back when you used to lay there in bed and was afraid to die? Y'all do, don't you? They do too. They do too. They just need to be reminded who God is. Amen. They need to see a group of people. They will hate you for it. They will hate us for it. They will persecute us for it. And the more we are persecuted and hated, the more the church will shine, the more the church will be able to accomplish. But as long as we are lazy and cold and indifferent, it ain't going to happen. Persecution will come when we begin to get on fire. But praise God, when we do get on fire, we'll do more. We'll shine. Hey, it'll make a difference. God will be glorified in this world even more. But he was believed on in the world. He was preached unto the Gentiles. Praise God that he was, because if he wasn't, I'd be lost on my way to hell. He was received up into glory. We see that in Acts 1, 9, and 11. That's what it says right here. It must be important. God put it down here. Without notice these things. Six things here. Manifest in the flesh. Justified in the spirit. Seen of angels. Preached unto Gentiles. Believed on in the world. Received up into glory. Six is the number of man. If you look at these things, these are all about what he did for us. See, that's the promise that he gave us. That he would come. He would die. The preaching of the gospel saved our soul, did it not? We were received up into glory. We're going to be received up into glory just like he was. This is important. Amen. Ain't that the blessed hope? He's coming. He's coming to get us. Hey, if he hadn't got called up, we wouldn't get called up. That was important. We have a like resurrection. Praise God. We died in him. We live in him. We're going to be raised in him. We're going to be called up to heaven in him. Amen. And he's coming back after his church. The same way that he was called up, we're going to be called up. This is important. This is such an important doctrine. We need to make much of it. There's a lot more, and I'm just starting to scratch this. I'm just realizing I'm starting to scratch the surface of this. This thing, This thing of the incarnation of Jesus Christ is so important. So important. I wish we had the time we could go back and look at all the promises of His coming. I like to look at all the accounts of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and the relationship to that, to the Scriptures, of being justified in the Spirit. Seeing how important this is. His death, His burial, His life. Oh my. Wouldn't you like to have been here and seen Him walk and talk with people? I'd like to have heard Him preach one time. Huh? I'd just like to have heard Him preach one time. You ever notice, He didn't say a whole lot, but He said so much with so few words. We talk so much and say so little. Yeah, Jim Shaker, he knew all about that. He'd been in politics. Man says so much, yet says so little. Jesus Christ spoke few words. And some of the most important things He said, He didn't even open up His mouth. Didn't even open up His mouth. Or when they had Him, He was there in Pilate's hall. He said, "Ain't you got anything to say to me?" He spoke when it was time. He was quiet. Didn't say a word. As a lamb before His shearer's dumb, He opened not His mouth. When you're right, you ain't got to defend yourself. That's what that tells me. How many times, though, we got to run to defend ourselves? People start to say things, ugly things to us. Next thing you know, our pride gets all up and we want to justify ourselves. Just keep your mouth shut. It's a wise thing. I love that saying, better be thought a fool than open your mouth and prove it. Amen. Remove all doubt. Just don't matter what people think. What matters what He thinks. Trying to learn that lesson. It's hard. It's hard. Hard in this world. Hard when you're working around a bunch of hard-headed people. But I look at the life of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Took on flesh. You know what? It's not impossible. Jesus said, of myself, I can do nothing. That's what He said. He laid that down. He said, of myself, I can do nothing. It was the Spirit that did. He did it all through Him. He yielded Himself to the Spirit. And everything that Jesus did, the Spirit did it through Him working. You know what He says to us? Without me, you can do nothing. But I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. If we can learn from the lesson of Christ, so much that we can do. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.